As we take a look at the markets, we're going to jump into a conversation about December corn. I'm Susan Littlefield. This is the American Ag Network, and Arlen Suderman joins us at StoneX. And that's about the support you have. Right now, it's at $4.40 for December corn. We were talking about December corn possibly going below $4, but like we've seen the last couple of years. But why is that $4.40 mark so important right now in this corn market?
Well, because we've hit it like a half dozen times over the history of the contract. And when you repeatedly hit the same level and bounce off of that, that starts to take on significance because the fundamentals of supply and demand have to be more bearish than it was any of those times to justify going down there. And it also communicates, hey, this is an area of perceived value. Now, the perception could change. I'm not making this prediction, but I'm throwing an example. If they come out and say, the crop's going to yield 190-some bushels per acre this year, well, obviously that would be a perceived change. Then it could go lower type of thing. But until the market believes that there's a legitimate perceived change, then that tends to be a level of support. And that's where the sellers tend to dry up. And the buying interest tends to pick up each time. And that's where we find ourselves now with December corn basically testing that area once again. And we're watching to see if it can bounce once again, just as it's done those half a dozen other times.
We've seen the markets. I mean, they came off the overnight trade, pushing some good green. Nearby July corn's the only one that's had some negativity on and off. What is your thought? Are we just prepping for WASDE tomorrow?
When the funds are selling it hard and doing a lot of damage to the charts, and then we approached areas of chart objectives, like the December contract at 440 area, which has historically been an area of support for this contract over its life, then that selling starts to slow down. And then when you have a WASDE crop report coming up in a couple of days, okay, what if there's a surprise in that? Maybe we better wait. Not much change is expected in this report, but surprises happen. And the fund's not wanting to lean too hard in one direction says, let's pause. A lot of end users out there saying, boy, this is a gift to us. This break in prices is a gift. So whenever this knife stops falling, we want to jump in and buy. So when we saw the pause, we did see a lot of end user buying. That's not just the United States domestically, because we have great grind margins right now for the ethanol production. On the soybean side, we have tremendous crush margins right now for crushing soybeans. And so that incentive is there to go strong, and they use this price break to, in order to get inventories. Exporter customers doing the same thing. Even in Argentina and Brazil, where they base their pricing off Chicago Board of Trade, we've seen a big spike in basis because of China coming in to buy, for example. And so that's resulted in some farmer selling. All of that fitting together to, yes, give us support, but also to see increased volume because farmer selling gets hedged against the market, which is why occasionally the nearby contracts see some negative movement.
I was reading in your newsletter too, Arlen, you talk about the Chinese buying of Brazilian beans, a marketing year tops 9 million metric tons.
9 million metric tons for the 26-27 marketing year that starts September 1. So a long ways to go, but that's a significant amount of Brazilian beans. And a lot of that's been priced here recently on the break in the Chicago Board of Trade. We continue to monitor that through our sources. Not a single bushel yet on the record as having been bought from the United States. Keep in mind, our sources identify the 12 million metric tons of Chinese buying of U.S. soybeans long before USDA confirmed it. So we're still watching for signs of them buying our soybeans for the next marketing year. Thus far, nothing.
As we inch closer to July and the USMCA review, I see that there's more talks with Mexico as they're going to head to D.C. next week.
Yeah, and I feel okay about Mexico. Do we have our differences with Mexico? Absolutely. But each time a problem has arisen, President Sheinbaum of Mexico has been very, seems like very amiable to work with the president, to President Trump, in reaching a resolution and continuing the trade of relationship between the two countries. It's a different story with Canada. I hope that President Trump and Prime Minister Carney work out their differences and were able to work things out there. But I think things are going to be on a good track with Mexico.
As we wrap up our conversation, let's talk Mexico a little bit more. And that announcement yesterday, last evening, that is, that they're suspending imports of live animals from the U.S. due to screwworm.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of politics. Mexico's had screwworm throughout the country now for much of the last, really since 2024, and it's been marching across the country. A little bit of politics going on there. You know, worried about it coming back from the United States there. It's not like we sell them a lot of cattle anyway. We used to see 1 million to 1.2 million of feeders coming north to the United States, which is shut off, trying to slow the movement of the screwworm. And hopefully we'll get it soon eradicated from the United States, but that's probably going to take some time.
All right, sounds good. Arlen Suderman joining us this afternoon as we take a look at the market trade of the day. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That is the Wednesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.